That's Alexander Markov. I'm Kate Remington. And Alex, it's so great to have you here in our studio.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's really wonderful. And you've been so busy in the few years since we talked about your rock concerto.
Yes,
and
you've
got a fantastic sounding concert coming up on November 8th, From Baroque to Rock, with your mom and your dad, who are both incredible violinists, and many, many other performers as well. And so I guess right off the bat, maybe what was the inspiration to get this concert organized?
Well, the main inspiration was I do performing lots of concerts around the world. I go to China, Japan, Europe, South America, perform with my parents in Europe, some festivals. But here in Rowayton, Connecticut, we have lots of neighbors and friends. They all ask, when are you going to play a local gig? And we really felt bad that, you know, they feel left out. And it's a great community. I grew up in Connecticut, you know, when we came from Russia many years ago. So we thought to make a local performances just for the friends, neighbors, you know, just to inspire local community, you know, with kids, youngsters who want to do music. So it's a kind of a fun thing for us too, you know.
Yeah, for sure. The concert is on Friday, November 8th at the Norwalk Concert Hall. And it sounds like you're putting together a really diverse program. So what are some of the, you know, the specific pieces?
Well, there's going to be a very eclectic program. First half, we're going to have this kind of a beautiful classical pieces. We're going to start with the Baroque repertoire. We're going to have a young Turkish violinist. She's going to open the show. And Celine, she's going to do the Bach air, you know, the famous one, with the string ensemble behind her. We think it would be a beautiful start to the program. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to play Tartini Sonata in G minor, the Devil's Trill,
right,
which is kind of appropriate now with the Halloween coming
sure
up, right? You know, we're going to have, you know, the string section, the piano, and I have an all-time collaborator on piano, Heike Dor. She's going to play with us. And then my father and I will do Handel Passacaglia.
Oh, wow.
He's going to play on the viola. I'm going to play the violin. And then I must play at least one Caprice by Paganini.
Of course.
So I'm going to do that. Then we're going to have my mom join us. She's going to do, with me and my father, he made the arrangement of Peter and the Wolf by Prokofiev.
Wow.
For two violins and viola only, just the three of us. So, and then we're going to finish the program with the Sarasate Navara. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first half, that is.
Right.
With strings and piano, you know, for two violins. So it's going to be a big ending of the classical segment.
Yeah.
And then the second half, we're going to have kind of the mood is going to swing to a more kind of rocking part. We're going to have more than 100 local choir kids, really excellent choir kids from area schools, you know, middle schoolers, high schools, Stanford High. Mm-hmm. And we get some, you know, different schools, and they're very hard workers. You know, they worked for months for this concert.
Wow.
They worked very, very hard. And we're going to have a string section. We're going to have a brass section. We're going to have a fantastic rhythm section. I have a drummer that I started working. He used to play with some big pop stars and rap stars like Alicia Keys and Eminem and Drake, all the big names. He's a fantastic drummer. We're going to have an excellent bass player, Tommy Champion. He's from New Canaan.
Oh, wow.
6'5"? Very talented guy, young guy, very talented. So it's going to be a big party.
Yeah.
So the whole concept is really connecting the two worlds of classical and rock and roll closer together.
Yeah.
And you know, like the famous jazz players, he said, there are only two kinds of music, good and bad.
Right, right. So. Or like Duke Ellington said, if it sounds good, it is good.
And exactly.
Yeah, and actually, they're not that far apart. Not as far as people think, because there are similarities with both. You know, it was always expected that classical musicians would improvise, not necessarily drum solos, but, you know, cadenzas, and in the Baroque, the people would improvise long stretches, you know, like you do in a rock band.
Yes. And the good news, Kate, is generation of today who comes to classical concert, they grew up on, I don't know, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix.
Sure.
So it's kind of a something to them, something to connect as well. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting here with your beautiful violin. Is there something else that you'd like to play from
the
program? Yeah.
just a little snippet. I made a shortcut.
That piece is just so lovely, that meditation. And that made me think, you know, your father was your first violin teacher.
Yeah, he was my main teacher.
And
yeah,
and there must be things that he showed you over the years, taught you over the years, that you're still using these days. And
yes,
what are some of those?
Well, there are two things especially that brings to my mind that he said was extremely profound. One is, he always told me, if you have technical sections in challenging, don't play them on the very limit of your technical ability. Mm. Play just a bit slower than your maximum. Nobody will notice the difference. However, having that little extra space to breathe, you'll have much more control of technique. And it's extremely helpful because it's like a car. If you max out on the middle, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. If you leave little space, the audience would never tell.
Right.
In music, that is.
Yeah, because if you crank it up to 11,
exactly,
you don't have
11, exactly. So this is extremely helpful because it's, you know, you can only appreciate when you play this and you can tell us. And another thing was very important when I was growing up is that he would immediately be able to detect my weaknesses, and yet he would let me kind of stretch my legs, let me breathe when he feels my strength. So he would let me be on my own, you know, when he hears, you know, my strength.
Right.
And yet, my weaknesses he would immediately try to fix.
So. Wow, that's so subtle, I guess, and supportive at the same time, because you know, you hear stories about music instructors and teachers who like crush the souls of their students.
Exactly. Well, you see, I was lucky because he was both, you know, concert violinist, and he is also a teacher, well, a composer, but he's still at, and you know, the young lady who's gonna open the show for us, Celine Gunos, she's the, you know, originally from Turkish, Celine. And she's my father's student in Manhattan School now.
Wow.
She's very talented.
That's so wonderful. So are the pieces that you're playing, are they all like family favorites, or did you kind of go back and forth about what you were trying to play?
I think a little bit of each, because I was just trying to think which program would be good for this audience, because this is going to be a big family event.
Right.
It's not going to be featuring, you know, big Mahler symphonies or anything like that. So I want us to be kind of a more light program, easygoing for parents. They bring young kids with them.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids, maybe the first time they ever see and hear a classical concert in the beginning.
Right.
So we want to have a kind of a friendly introduction where it's serious and yet it's entertaining enough so they will enjoy it, and hopefully they'll get inspired with that.
I would think so. And I know that's been a mission of yours, like a real passionate part of your whole career is getting kids excited about music.
Right, because, you know, when I came to America, especially, you know, when I was a teenager, I went through this kind of a musical challenge where, you know, I always enjoyed, obviously, classical music. It's a great tradition for my parents and, you know, the whole kind of a, what do you call it, the culture of it. And at the same time, I always wanted to do something fresh and provocative.
Right.
And there is nothing more provocative than that. That I can promise you.
Right. Well, yeah, because when you got here, you were, it was like the first time you'd heard rock and roll, right? And that was like life-changing for you.
Because look, in Russia, we only heard like maybe the Beatles, some of it. Some of the Rolling Stones, I remember. But here in America, I never heard of like, you know, one of the groups like Led Zeppelin or Deep Purple or Van Halen. Like, never heard of the bands of kind of an edgier sound. So in the beginning, I hated it, actually, in the beginning, when I was a kid. Because your ear is not accustomed to it.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually, I totally fell in love with this, you know.
Well, who were some of the rock musicians that, like, really stood out to you that you've been inspired by?
I think I was very inspired by guitarists the most because, you know, my idea was, when I wanted to be kind of a part of this whole thing, is that I wanted to play an instrument and everybody plays guitar.
Right.
And everybody sings. However, I had already my chops with my classical violin because, you know, I was at Carnegie Hall at 16.
Right.
Did my first debut. So I had all the, you know, classical concertos under my fingers, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I thought, I already have my kind of a technique, my chops.
Yeah.
And now I want to use it for electric. And electric violin, even until today, is not really developed like it is, you know, electric guitar. So my main heroes with the rock guitarists, like, I know, Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, you know, so Van Halen, like, you know, people who really like the guitar heroes of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
My big inspiration.
And even now, I mean, there are guitarists like Jack White who are like really pushing the envelope of what a guitar can sound like. Yeah. And so it must be fun to kind of listen to them and hear what they're doing and then try to incorporate that. And so that is very cool. Would you like to play a little bit?
I thought you'd never ask.
But, you know, I mean, there's a long tradition of that, too, like Paganini and Sarasate.
Well,
and
absolutely. Well, that's my inspiration because, you know, Paganini in 19th century, he took the violin to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Before him, violin was just a part of a bigger ensemble or orchestra or if there's opera. But he was like the first star, a showman of the day.
Right.
Where people actually buy tickets to hear violin in concert. So violin was the star. He made this to be a star. The first kind of romantic repertoire. Mm-hmm. He launched this whole era. And that's why I was telling about electric violin, because again, I hope it will be developed to more kind of mainstream, you know, mainstream acceptance.
Right, yeah.
Like an electric guitar. Mm-hmm. And I think what's important because is to write music for it.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times it seems like they're trying to adapt classical pieces with an electric violin, and there aren't, well, I think there are probably more now purpose-built electric violins, but yours is really special because it's, first of all, it's gold-plated, which is...
Well, the violin itself is all custom-made all the way.
Right,
You know, it was designed for me, it was built for me, it was gold-covered for me. Mm-hmm. And musically, like, for example, if you go on YouTube, most, if not all, of people who try electric violins, whichever the violins they've got, they always do covers.
Right.
Famous rock songs, pop songs, classical arrangements for electric. But I think it's important to write the music itself, the original compositions, because I think this is with, first of all, it's in the tradition of rock and roll. You know, if you be taken seriously, you have to write your own stuff. You cannot do covers all the time. Cover is a copy. Mm-hmm. It's a great, fun thing to do, but
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Well, and that's what you've been doing a lot of, because the last time you were here, we were talking about your rock concerto, right, which was incredible. And you mentioned before we started rolling here that you've been writing a lot, yes, of music, and a lot of it's going to be on the concert.
Yes, we got, first of all, we got a world premiere of the piece called Rock Violin Capriccio.
Oh, wow.
So because I thought, you know, in the 21st century, and especially with the Paganini caprices, which is kind of my specialty, if you will, it would be nice to write a 21st century equivalent of the electric capriccio.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, if Paganini would be alive, what would he do today with electric, you know, pedals, mm-hmm, and sounds and whatnot? So I decided, this is a brand new, I just wrote it actually, and it's going to be featured as a world premiere.
Wow.
Rock Violin Capriccio. And then on top of that, so I had a whole new collection of songs. They're not concerto like it used to be, you know, in the past, long, big composition. Mm-hmm. This is going to be kind of a short song formats.
Oh, cool.
Kind of more, you know, shorter, like I said, song formats. And, you know, you're going to see the choir doing hooks, you know, rock and roll, like rock and roll style, of course.
Yeah.
But it has got some of the classical instrumentation, because I want to bring something fresh also on the table in the world of rock and roll.
Yeah, well, I love the sounds that
thank
you got
you,
from all those pedals with your guitar. And it must be tough.
With my guitar.
Everybody's
doing it. Everybody's doing it.
With your violin.
Everybody's doing
but,
it.
But and it, so a lot of it, you know, it sounds like classic rock guitar sounds, but you've got more different things in there. And with so many options, so many possibilities and colors, how do you narrow it down?
You narrow it down by literally trying and trying and trying and trying. So I now narrow down right now to maybe like 4, maximum 5 pedals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those sound effects pedals. But I literally would go to a retail store and spend their hours and trying. Eventually, by now, I must have tried many hundreds of different pedals before I narrow down. And as always, everything in life, sometimes the simplest solution is the, you know, like the simple sometimes is the best solution.
Yeah, yeah. I find that with when I talk with game composers, they'll say once they narrow down the palette, then it's actually easier,
yeah,
to start writing the music because they know,
yeah,
what the limits are. So
yeah, because you've got tons of. You see, the challenge with electric violin is because it's such an original instrument, you cannot go online and read lots about the pedals, what do they do, until you actually try them. Because they will work for guitar. They're mainly built for guitar,
mm-hmm,
maybe bass guitar, if anything. But if you try to use the guitar pedals for a whole different animal, you literally have to go into retail and try it.
Yeah, wow. Well, it must be fun. They must love hearing you get all
well,
these.
Well, they love and they also hate.
Oh.
Because I don't always buy.
You know, you've spent so much time in schools playing for kids and stuff. And I would love to know, you know, what their reaction is when you pull out your gold violin, because I'm sure they're not expecting it, or even if they are,
go crazy,
yeah,
to tell honestly,
yeah,
because, you know, frankly, they don't expect anything like that. So for some reason, they associate violin with something just a bit whiny and long. I don't know why. It's a shame. And this is kind of a real, that's actually, it's for me, it's really exciting, because, you know, you offer something fresh and new for the,
yeah,
kids, and they get excited, and then they sing better.
Right.
if they're choir people. And
yeah.
For the kids. Well, you see, what I do when I do school visits prior to concerts, like right now I was going in New Canaan schools.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to do Wilton, Darien High, and Norwalk. And I start with the classical.
Uh-huh.
You know, stay true to my roots.
Right.
And respect my roots. So I play some of the classical pieces like Bach, Paganini, just, you know, to show the potential of the instrument that, you know, they may not even heard themselves.
Right.
Even. So I do that. Then we do a little Q&A. And then for the ending, I, of course, take the electric violin and then, you know,
yeah,
go crazy with that.
Well, what are you hoping that people will, like, take away from this concert?
My biggest hope, frankly, is, it's a great question, by the way, is that they would take away home of experiencing something fresh and new. As a concert experience, because there's so many concerts around these days,
yeah,
you know, and there's YouTube, there's internet, there's so much. And what turns me on about this whole project itself is this, you know, tremendous diversity of sounds and eclectic music and everything. And I'm just hoping that people go home with thinking they're discovering something new of experiencing a concert, a live concert.
Yeah,
including classical, including everything, just a whole experience of realizing that still live concerts are something cannot be replaced. You know, you could watch YouTube, everything for free, get free downloads, but they have to understand, I hope, that going to a live concert, and this concert especially, they will experience something that they would, first of all, feel something fresh and new, and also that live concert itself cannot be replaced.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And experiencing it with a lot of other people, too, is just absolutely irreplaceable. So
yeah, interacting.
Cool. Yeah,
It's a fun thing.
So there's a website for people to get tickets.
Yeah.
It's alexandermarkov.com, and you can reserve your seats, and then you're all set.
It's Friday, November 8th at Noro Concert Hall. By the way, Noro Concert Hall is a fantastic acoustic.
Yes,
it's a beautiful
room. It is. It's just amazing, and it holds a lot of people.
Yeah,
so.
Great. Thank you so much.